Matthew 5, starting in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're new tonight, or if you forgot everything from last week, we are jumping into the Sermon on the Mount. And in fact, we're going to spend the entire spring in the Sermon on the Mount. But right now, we're in a series called The Pursuit of Happiness. And what we know of the world is that we're all kind of searching for happiness. It's a very natural pursuit for you and I to have, to look for happiness in the things that we do. And I actually think the scriptures tell us something about happiness. Like, I think Jesus has something to say. And there's this portion of his first sermon called the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, happy people are, it's blessed, which we learned last week. The definition of that is kind of a happiness, a happy vibe, if you will. Does anybody remember what we called it? Golden retriever vibes. Thank you. Somebody was paying attention. That's what you get. Like, blessed are the people. Like, these people have something about them that isn't temporary, but rather it's like their vibe. And so we're jumping into the text tonight. And I just want to say, because we're at, you know, a higher education school, that our primary source is the scriptures tonight. And I just want to quote my secondary source. I just want you to know, for those that really like the books that are thick and a little bit heady, but are really, really amazing, Martin Lloyd-Jones has written a book called The Studies in the Sermon on the Mount. And so a lot of the things I say, I'll quote him tonight. I'll be very clear when I quote him. But even some of the ideas I had, he had better ways to say it. And so I'll even say some of those things tonight. So I just want to quote my sources. And for those that are like, I got to read this, it's like, it is worth your time. So as we jump in to the text, if I use the word beatitude, and what people call this are the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, all that is the Latin word beatitude or something like that, which means blessed. That's why they're called the Beatitudes. It's actually not even an English thing, but that's why people call this part of scripture that. So let's jump in to the first verse that we're going to kind of break up tonight. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus is talking about, it's talking to his disciples, but there's crowds there. And so he's describing what people that follow him are like. So he's like, hey, the happy people are the people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's talk about righteousness for a second. What is righteousness? Does that just mean general morality? Does that mean be good? Don't cheat in school? You know, don't steal? Is that what it means? I think Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I mentioned, He defines righteousness. He says Jesus is talking in this place as righteousness being the desire to be free from sin in all its forms, in its every manifestation. It's a desire to be free from sin because sin separates us from God. And positively, it means a desire to be right with God. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is nothing but the longing to be positively holy. And to be holy is to be set apart. And so it's a longing to be set apart because we have been separated from God, but when we receive God's righteousness, then we're in right relationship with God. So that's Martin Lloyd-Jones' definition of righteousness, to be free from sin. If you like the summary, that's the summary, to be free from sin. Now, what does it mean to hunger and thirst? Y'all ever have a craving? What's like the biggest craving you get in Waco that you don't get in bigger cities? Anybody? Any hungry people? I'm the only one that's hungry. I'm the only one that missed dinner. Yeah, what do you, Rylan, you're hungry. Cajun craft? No, that's in Waco. That's Cajun food in Waco. What do you crave that you can't get in Waco? Yeah.
That you can't get in Waco?
That you can't get in Waco. Yeah.
Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme donuts. Oh, that's good. I didn't even thought about that. Pops? Brahms. Yes, you have to drive all the way to where?
Hillsboro.
Yes. Okay. All right. Hands down, I've lost everyone. I crave sushi. I'm just going to confess that. There isn't very good sushi here. There's some sushi, but sketchy sushi, right? Anyways, here's the deal. That's what hungering and thirsting is. It's a craving. It's a craving. If you're hungry, milk and cereal right after in the room next door. Come back. Here we go. When it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness, that means we have a longing to be free from sin, a longing to be free from the power of sin, a longing to be free from even the desire to sin. It's a longing and a hunger and a thirst to be free in all ways, free from the consequences of sin, free from the power of sin, all those things. It's like something within us. And it's almost like, for most of us, we're like, I don't necessarily think I want righteousness. Like, it's not the first thing that comes to mind. Like, that's not something deep within us naturally. I'll just admit it. But it's almost like righteousness is an acquired taste, all right? When I was in college, I didn't drink coffee, which was a shame, I know. And my sophomore year, one of my roommates is like, Dale, you need to do better in school, so I need you to learn how to drink coffee. So he taught me how to drink coffee, and how did I start drinking coffee? He poured me a black cup of coffee, and then what did he put in? Cream, sugar, whatever. We didn't have like oat milk, almond milk, all the substitute milks back then. That wasn't a thing. But what he started me with was a lot of milk and sugar and very little coffee. And then over time, I think it was about 6 weeks, like this is kind of funny to think back on for me. I'm like, yeah, he kind of just weaned me off of that stuff. And by the end of it, I was like, man, I really like black coffee. Like, and I kind of need it, right? Like by the end of it, I'm like, I kind of need coffee every morning. What did I do when I woke up this morning? Made a pot of coffee, right? I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like I have not had a cup of coffee in years. And anyways, I feel like that was a confession. And I was trying to be funny, but it was true. And so I kind of need coffee, right? Like I grew to love it. Like I now thirst for it. It's the first thing I drink every morning. And now I really desire it. And because I saw the reward of that, and I honestly think when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, like when we learn to love it, then God satisfies it, right? And we're like, oh snap, I want more of that. I need more of that. I need more of those moments of being free from sin. Like when he does that work in my life, when he gives me righteousness, it's like, wow. When we hunger and thirst for it, he satisfies us. That's what the rest of the verse says. For they shall be satisfied. And then what do we go around and do? We want more of it. When it's satisfied, we hunger and thirst more and we're satisfied. It's just like coffee, right? We're like, I need coffee. I need more caffeine, right? And then you're like, oh no, it's like I'm satisfied by that. Oh, okay, I need some more. Like, that's it. That's what Jesus is saying. And a rightful next question is, why should I want righteousness? And I honestly think you should want righteousness because you and I's happiness is temporary, okay? And here's how I want to illustrate this. It's like this cold that I've struggled to kick. I have a cold, and I've struggled to kick it since about mid-December. And so I've been sick, and so I have symptoms. So we're going to go to the screen. I'm going to show you what's been happening. So I have a cold, sick. My symptoms, nasal congestion. I don't know if y'all just noticed, but I just wiped my nose on the stage. It's dripping. I've had a sore throat. I've had a cough. I've had different things. I know all of you are thinking about COVID. Don't worry. It's not that, okay? I'm tested regularly. Anyways, and then lastly, we have medication. This is the way sickness works, right? You're sick. You have symptoms. You have medication. So here's my DayQuil, which I took this morning. It was knockoff DayQuil. I know some of you are judging me. It's fine. Same thing. Let me read you what this medication does. Not every medication is like this. Some pre-med student's going to call me on this. I get it. But sometimes, like this, this is what happens. Medication. Pain reliever, fever reducer, cough suppressant, nasal decongestion. You know what that is? That's a medication that solves the symptoms. That's a medication that temporarily treats the symptoms. I Googled, is DayQuil treating the sickness? And Google told me, no, DayQuil is treating temporarily the symptoms, which means it doesn't fix your sickness. It fixes your symptoms, and then you have to take it again 4 hours later, okay? That's what's happening when you get a cold. That's the game you're playing. That's the game I'm still stuck in. Pray for me. Anyways, here's the reality. We too are sick, and our symptom is a lack of happiness. And some of you are like, I am happy. I just got into my sorority. I'm like, okay, great, okay? That's great. That's great. Congrats. I was in that world too. And then you get out, and then other bad things happen at different times of life, okay? It's not a bad thing. I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble for that, but that's fine. I was in that world, so I can make fun of it. Anyways, unhappiness. So many of us experience this at different points. And you know what we do? Is we seek to medicate it in different ways. And sincerely, like sometimes it's with substitutes. Substances like caffeine or worse, like alcohol, drugs, or relationships, just to make us feel a little bit happy. And we look for maybe even happiness and to try to treat our unhappiness with like better grades, approval from our parents, status. I think I even said relationships, like we need affection and attention and different things. Like we're trying to treat our unhappiness, but we keep forgetting that that's a symptom. What we need is to hunger and thirst for righteousness because we're sick. And then he's going to satisfy us with righteousness, blessed, and we'll become happy. And so we don't medicate to try to treat unhappiness. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. It fixes our sickness, and it makes us happy. Golden retriever happiness, which lasts. Happiness that lasts. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for we will be satisfied, and we will find happiness there. But so many of us in our lives, like we're trying to treat the symptoms. We feel anxious or unhappy. We try to treat the worry by doing something different and doing all these. It's like sometimes Jesus is telling us we can find a place, a way to heal the sickness in a different way. And I honestly think we've been convinced to treat the symptom. Like, that's the way we live. Like, we're feeling down. You're like, give me a beer, right? Like, or at least that's what adults do. And surely not y'all. And, but we're treating the symptom. And that's not the way we're meant to live. And so the person that's like, I don't really want righteousness. I don't really need righteousness. It's like, then you're going to be unhappy eventually. If it's not today, it's going to be at some point. And I'm telling you, there's another way. That's what Jesus is showing us in the scriptures. What a beautiful promise. I didn't even like necessarily emphasize it, that we will be satisfied. And when he satisfies us, he gives us his righteousness. Because our righteousness is trash. The scriptures say it's like filthy rags. Paul talks about righteousness. He talks about it like dung, like almost a curse word. Like what we bring to the table is trash. And so that begs the question, are you and I happy? I think Bo Burnham asked that question too. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Maybe ask that question of yourself. Maybe take that note. Am I hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Do I rightly understand that my righteousness is like filthy rags? That's one way you can know if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have the self-awareness that we bring nothing to the table. We need Christ Jesus' righteousness. We receive it. It's something he gives to us upon our belief, and we have to remind ourselves that that's who we are. That's what identifies us. That's what defines us. Jesus' righteousness. So again, that's the question from that verse. Are we hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Let's keep going. The second verse, Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, when I think about merciful, I think about those people that are super chill You know what I mean? Like the people where you're like, the house is burning down. You're like, it's all good. Oh, everything's going to work out totally fine. Like California, bro. Like that's a personality. Again, I feel like I'm like going to get in trouble for saying California, bro. That's a good thing. What a great thing. The chill people. We need you. Anyone chill? Nah, you wouldn't raise your hand. You're too chill, right? Right? That wouldn't happen. So here's the deal. We need those people. That's a personality trait. This is a characteristic, a character trait, right? That's what this is. Merciful people. The happy people are the merciful people, for they have received mercy. So let's define mercy. Again, let's go back to my old dead guy that I've been quoting a lot, right? Martin Lloyd-Jones. Mercy is pity in action. Mercy is pity, it's caring, plus a desire to resolve that. Like it's seeing that somebody needs care, it's having empathy, and then it's doing something about it. I love that. It's pity in action. And so Jesus is telling us the happy people are the people who have mercy and who forgive. And really, you should be thinking, wait, what? Like, that isn't fair. That isn't right. Like sincerely, I'm entitled to forgive whoever deserves the forgiveness. Like, I can't just be merciful all the time. Like that, what are you saying? Here's the deal. Jesus goes even further. He says this here, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. But he even says to be gentle and kind to those who wrong us. He tells us to go even further, turn the other cheek. He tells us to go even further, love our enemies. He goes even further. He says, pray for the people that abuse you. And I want to just be sensitive and gentle. And I want you to hear this. Like, some of you, this is hard to hear. And I can't even begin to imagine some of the abuses that have taken place in a room this big. And so for Jesus to say, pray for those that abuse you, like, I get the challenge that immediately brings. And I want to respond to that in two ways. The first is I want us to just think about, like, one of the thoughts that I had is like, well, what about the people that don't deserve mercy? Like, they don't deserve it, right? Like, that's something that can come to mind. And this is the good news of the gospel. That you and I, we didn't deserve mercy. That God is merciful. Like, that's a part of who he is. That's his character. Like, that is in his being. And so he had pity on us. He saw that we were sinners in need of a savior. And he did something about it. He acted on it. That's the good news of the gospel. That God is merciful. That he didn't just leave us in this sinful state. He provided a way. He acted. Why? Because he's merciful and because he loves you and he loves me. Like, what good news. So when we say, well, what about the people that don't deserve mercy? Just understand you and I are the first that don't deserve it. You and I are the first that don't deserve it. And now, going back to really those that are like frustrated, and even my statement of Jesus tells us to pray for those that abuse you. Your next question is, well, what about justice? And I just want you to know, God is perfectly merciful and God is perfectly just. And he has asked us to be merciful, to leave the justice to him one day. And I know it doesn't always sound fair, but God is God. And when we're down here, we can trust him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're better. He's way better than anything we can imagine. He's trustworthy, and I know it's so hard. I know it's hard. But I promise you, he has shown us a great mercy, and we didn't deserve it. And we can trust him with the justice. He's trustworthy. So we see the happy people are the merciful people. They're the ones that are going to receive mercy. And when we think about mercy, like what comes to mind immediately, I almost showed a clip of you know, something crazy where, you know, you've seen the viral video of the girl who forgives the person that murdered her father. Like, you've seen that video before or something like it. Like, we celebrate those things rightfully. Like, those are amazing acts of mercy. And it's so easy for you and me to be like, all right, the merciful, next, let me get something that actually matters. And here's the reality. Like, we're meant to be merciful to the roommate that we're bitter towards for not doing the dishes, right? Like, it's easy to look at the big stuff and celebrate it and praise it rightly, but we don't realize, like, we were made to be merciful. Even to those, if your dad left your family, that's part of my story. Or what about the bitterness that you have towards that ex? Be merciful. What about the bitterness towards that teacher that didn't bump your grade last semester, right? Anybody have that? I mean, that's personal. I experienced it, right? That's the only reason I know it. But like, that's what Jesus is calling us to be merciful to. I was working out today, flex, literally. Anyways, I was working out today. I was thinking about this passage. I was thinking about this verse, and I thought, man, if my backpack got stolen, I'd be pissed, right? Like, if I went back to my truck, I'd be so mad. I was like, what this week do I need to be merciful for? And honestly, I just sat there and wrestled as I was working out. I was like, what would I do if I got back to my truck and my backpack was gone? So after I worked out, I started walking back to my truck, and my backpack was there. So that's all I got for you, right? But I thought, man, I think it would be really, really hard if God was like, be merciful right now. And I was like, dang, I'm thankful that didn't happen that way, but I'm sure there's really, really real things that you're experiencing even today or in the last week or certainly over Christmas break. Happy are the merciful people. They shall receive mercy. I don't need to drink DayQuil. I need to drink water. Let's turn to the last verse. Matthew 5, verse 8. Last one we're going to look at tonight. Oh, that was bad. It's going to bother me. Anyways. All right. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want us to start by just acknowledging what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say the pure in the head, like the intellectual purity. Although the heart in the scriptures often is talking about, you know, mind, soul, body, strength, like holistic. It's like your central being, right? Like the heart is like everything. It's the whole. And it's Jesus isn't saying that. Like, be pure intellectually or be really smart intellectually. And he doesn't even say pure on the outside. What does he say? Pure in the heart. So he's not saying, like, just be pure on the outside so that everyone outside of you thinks you're pure. He takes it a step further. He's like, no, you got to be pure within you. Like, from your inner being and your thoughts, not just your actions, but even within you, your whole being. Blessed, happy are the people that are pure in heart. And so we've asked the question, are we hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Are we merciful? The next question for this one, are you pure in heart? That's my question. And when I think of pure in heart, I think of two relevant categories for us to think of. Like, am I pure in heart? As I evaluate that, here's what I would think of. The first two that came to mind, these are not the only two categories, but the first two that come to mind, first is sexual and second is social. About to get real. Welcome to vertical. Here we go. Blessed are the pure in heart. When it comes to sexually pure, sex is a gift. God created it. Sex is for marriage between a man and a woman. And so things like masturbation, pornography, sex and dating, homosexual sex, oral sex, anything outside of sex in the covenant of marriage is impure. Jesus takes it a step further. Jesus says, it's not just don't commit adultery, don't just do sexual acts outside of marriage. You know what he says? He says, don't even look lustfully upon somebody else. For it's like you're sinning in your heart. It's later in the same sermon. And so when it comes to sexual purity, we see, we can ask ourselves the question, like, are we pure in heart? And let me just tell you, this is a part of my story. Impurity is a part of my story. Masturbation, pornography, and just messing around outside of marriage, those things were a part of my story. And so I don't say these things to throw guilt and shame. I say these things that, like, God has asked us. He says, happy are the pure in heart. And specifically, one way we can be pure in heart is sexually. And so it's a huge part of my story. And I'm so thankful that God has transformed and renewed me and given me purity so I can experience freedom. But even today, like sincerely today, I do not have Instagram on my phone. Not because I'm awesome, but because for me, it's often a gateway to impurity. And so I don't say these things to condemn you. Jesus doesn't say these things to condemn us. But that's the first way we can think of purity is within sexual purity. And then the next way I want us to think about, again, there's many ways, but the next one is socially. When it comes to socially pure in heart, I mean, like, we don't manipulate in our friendships. We don't manipulate in the way that we communicate with other people, the way that we interact. We don't treat certain people better because of their status. We don't ignore some people because they can't do anything to help our status. We do not treat people differently like that. That's what it means to be socially pure in heart, is to not do those things. And maybe even when it comes to social media, like, we don't post to celebrate ourselves necessarily. Like, that's not what social media is for. Social media can inform, and social media is an opportunity for us to celebrate other people. It's not, look at us. That's impure. That's manipulative. Look at how awesome I am. That's impure. And honestly, I say socially impure, and I say this sincerely, really, because when it comes to dating and relationships, I got to be sensitive and gentle again, but I have friends that have been through divorces since they were at Baylor, they got married, and they got divorces. And this isn't a knock on girls, but in general, most of those divorces, social impurity was a part of it. I want the ring by spring. I want the security. I want the affection. I want the wedding in the cool magazine. This is real. These are people. These are friends. I want everything. I don't want marriage. I just want the stuff. The bachelorette. In a dating relationship, and that's your impurity, hey, repent. There's forgiveness, and let me just save you a ton of heartache. Don't do it. Please. Honestly, that after talking about purity and social impurity and sexual impurity, like, it can be heavy. And so if you feel like impure, you're like, yeah, I've had impure thoughts, I've had impure social, sexual, whatever it is. Remember when we talked about how God is merciful. And he showed mercy on you and me because he loves us. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's what God does. He cleanses impure people like me. He gives us his righteousness. He gives us his purity. He washes us white as snow. David, in Psalm 51, he says, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. He can renew even adulterous murderers. See David. He can cleanse, forgive, wash white as snow. You and me. That's the good news of the gospel. And the last thing on pure in heart, as I was studying this, I was surprised a lot of people define pure in heart this way. A lot of people said it's an undivided devotion. It's an undivided heart. It's a single-minded on what? On God. Like, there were a lot of people who were like, what's pure in heart? It's just being single-minded. So socially, God, socially. Relationship, sexually, God impacts our sex life, changes it. He's in control. He leads us. He's everything. I'm single-mindedly devoted in all things. I was really, really refreshed. And so that's how we can be pure in heart. Undivided devotion, undistracted. Is the right response to go lock ourselves in a closet and be really, really pure? No, 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 no. Go about your days, but be undivided in your focus on how God is in charge. Now God can use you, and God can work in and through those things. And the beautiful thing is, as he gives us a pure heart, happy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God. Is that now or is that later? I'm not sure. I actually think it's both. I think we're going to get glimpses of him here. And one day we'll get to see him clearly. So what do we do about it? Go be pure, y'all. Right? I'm glad y'all thought that was funny. He thought it was funny. Right? Go be pure. How unhelpful. As I close, we're about to have a time of response, and I want you to ask these questions. I'm going to actually ask you these questions. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Are you merciful? Are you pure in heart? And this is what I love about Jesus. Like, Jesus is like a wizard. He's like, boom, 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 boom. He's like, messing with us. Y'all are like, what? Jesus did what? Don't worry about it. It's like, he is saying things that are mind-blowing to me. I just think it's amazing. It's like, you can't go get hungry for righteousness. Like, you can't make yourself hunger for righteousness. You can't make yourself merciful. You can't change your heart to be pure. That's why I think Jesus is a wizard. I just need to clarify that. You can't do that. You and I can't do that. God is the one who gives us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. God is the one who gives us merciful hearts and makes us merciful. God is the one who changes our heart and makes it pure. So our first application must be to pray that God would do this. And so as we leave here this week, I want you to pray Matthew 5, 1 through 9. 1 through 10. Pray the Beatitudes. God, would you make me poor in spirit? God, would you make me mourn for my sin? God, would you make me meek? God, would you make me hunger and thirst for righteousness? God, would you make me merciful? God, would you give me a pure heart? That's what we're going to pray this week, because only God can do it. So when it comes to purity, does that mean we just like leave here and be passive and just like hope our hearts get pure? Jesus, Matthew 5:29, a little bit later, he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. What that means is we remove access. So what it seems is that Jesus is saying, hey, pray and ask God to do that. But then pursue it. Pursue a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Pursue being merciful. Pursue a pure heart. And it looks different in different ways, but I think it starts with us spending time with God, spending time with him, praying that he would work in us, and then pursuing different ways that he can work on us, primarily through prayer, time in God's word. So we pray and we pursue. And pursuing is just giving God space to do that work. And so we're going to practice right now. I'm going to give you time to pray. He's going to keep, you know, playing the keys. We're going to sit here. I don't want you to pray, not necessarily, you can ask yourself these questions, and then I want you to pray that God would give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness. God would make you merciful. God would give you a pure heart.